Here again, the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the gospel of the Lord, and this is our text. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We've assembled here this morning on this Memorial Day weekend, and we can't but help mention and remember those who have gone ahead of us, especially those who have gone ahead of us giving their lives so that we might have the freedom together here this morning, this Holy Trinity Sunday. So grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This morning we begin the last half of our church year, the semester of the church. The coming green season highlights the growth of God's people who, as we learned last Sunday, are called, gathered, and enlightened and sanctified by the Holy Spirit, who uses the gospel as the power to incorporate us in and to sustain us as the body of Christ, the Church Catholic. This morning we observe Holy Trinity Sunday, which is then the first Sunday after Pentecost. So as we gather on this Holy Trinity Sunday, we have done our once yearly confessional penance by together confessing the Athanasian Creed. This indeed is good for us, however, as it speaks to our faith in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with a special emphasis on the very divinity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which was a point of contention for the early church, leading to the writing of both the Nicene and the Athanasian creeds, so that that problem with the divinity of Jesus might be put to rest. But it continues to be a point of contention even in our day, as people ask questions about who Jesus truly was, and for us, who Jesus truly is. The Athanasians and Nicene creeds, together with the Apostles' Creed, are known as the ecumenical creeds and are foundational in our confessions of the truth, the truths of Holy Scripture, which testify to the God who has revealed himself to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So very familiar to us from our Christian hymnody is our opening hymn, "Holy, Holy, Holy," words also repeated in the verse for today. What a powerful confession of faith in the triune God put to music. So too, the familiar holy, holy, holy of the Sanctus of the Liturgy of Holy Communion, which captures the very words of our Old Testament reading from the prophet Isaiah, to which are added the words of the people in Jerusalem during Jesus' triumphal entry there, the Sunday before his crucifixion, that Sunday which we call Palm Sunday. Those words, Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And that composes a confession of faith that Jesus does indeed save us and save us now. That's what Hosanna means. Through the singing of the words of the liturgy and the hymnody, the confessing of our faith in the creeds of the church, and the hearing of God's word, we are schooled in the faith, its teachings, which make us wise unto salvation in Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. As the faith is taught through the ages, the mystery of the Holy Trinity has been extolled as a doctrine that is accepted by faith. The Lord revealed himself to us in that way. So we say, let it be as you have said. We believe that as an article of faith, as it continues to be a mystery, how there can be three distinct persons in one God. Yet for us who have been baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we trust that this article of faith expresses one of the many truths of God as found in his revelation to mankind through the witness of the prophets, the evangelists, and the apostles, as inspired through the work of the Holy Spirit. We also recognize that the teachings of Holy Scripture are unacceptable to many who fail to recognize that the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger than men, as put forth by St. Paul in his first letter to the church at Corinth. Did you ever have a class, or maybe even more than one class, in my case, that's material was more than difficult and which you were unable to truly comprehend and felt as if you were lost, maybe for the entire semester? Possibly you just didn't know how to prepare for it, or maybe you just had trouble as you read the material or tried to follow your teacher, or he or she seemed to speak another language, and so you were just confused, and you stayed confused and never were able to fully understand. And that was reflected by your frustration and ultimately your grade. Foreign languages come to mind that if you didn't learn the vocabulary and you didn't learn how to parse and conjugate things, then you were always in trouble. I speak from experience. High school and college French, and I still only know a couple of phrases of French. Well, our text for this morning is one which I use when I am teaching about the sacrament of holy baptism, which is an article of faith as one asked, how can simple water do such great things? St. John records for us by the power of the Holy Spirit this compelling conversation between Jesus and a ruler of the Jews, a Pharisee, whose name was Nicodemus. Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night under the cover of darkness, as it is thought that would have kept his colleagues, members of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish ruling council, from knowing that he was approaching Jesus, whom they despised because he was gaining popularity among the people and always was at odds with them and their way of thinking. Our text does not tell us if Nicodemus had respect for Jesus as he approached him, though it might be implied that he comes to him regardless. And so maybe there was some respect there. Certainly he had questions. He did not address Jesus as Lord, but as rabbi, as teacher. He admitted to Jesus that he and some of his colleagues considered Jesus a teacher come from God. That consideration was based on the many signs that Jesus was doing, those signs that we heard about in our second reading as Peter continued this morning his Pentecost sermon. Jesus did many signs and wonders that certainly pointed to his divinity, that not only had he come from God, but that he was indeed God in the flesh, as we just confessed, and as St. John put forth at the outset of his gospel account in the first chapter from which our text comes this morning. For Jesus, this encounter was going to offer him a teaching moment with this Jewish ruler. And we'll see how he does that. For Nicodemus, it will appear as if Jesus, the teacher, is talking past him, beyond his ability to comprehend and thereby be able to make a connection. Jesus responds to Nicodemus' statement by saying, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus' response showed that he did not comprehend that Jesus was speaking spiritually, as he was thinking physically by asking, well, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born? For Jesus, being born again, or better said, being born from above, was how one would receive the kingdom of God. Being born from above meant that the Lord would provide the new birth, would provide salvation bestowed as a free gift, and therefore man would be completely given to by God's grace, received by faith, which too is a gift. Jesus continued teaching, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Though not as yet commanded, Jesus would give his disciples and therefore his church the sacrament of holy baptism. Even though there were baptisms in the Old Testament, when Jesus commissioned the disciples to go and make disciples by baptizing and teaching, he was giving us the sacrament of holy baptism, whereby the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are applied with water, and new life is bestowed and God's kingdom granted, as sins are washed away and new life is given by the power of the Holy Spirit. That which is born of flesh, that which comes through procreation, is born sinful and therefore spiritually dead. So the Spirit, which was breathed into man in the beginning to give life in the image of God, would once again be breathed into everyone born of man in order that they might be reborn, that they might be born from above, born again by God's grace and mercy. This is the Holy Spirit's work, whom we do not see, and who gives new life where and when he pleases, who uses God's means, word and sacrament, to bestow these gifts. Nicodemus could only ask the rabbi, how can these things be? They're still not connecting. Nicodemus, as suggested by Jesus, was a recognized teacher of Israel, and he could not make this connection. He could not see how the necessary new birth by the Spirit was from above, not something that was generated by man and man's ability to keep the law, to provide a righteousness that was acceptable to God. Jesus points out that we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. So what does that mean? Well, with these words, Jesus speaks for the Old Testament prophets who had foretold Jesus' coming and his very purpose for coming. Nicodemus, as with the other Pharisees, could not grasp their need for spiritual rebirth or renewal of the Holy Spirit because of their self-righteousness, which was man-centered, not God-given. Therefore, what Jesus was attempting to teach him was that he was, that Jesus was, the fulfillment of the words of the prophets, the very Son of Man, and they were rejecting him. Then Jesus provided Nicodemus with an object lesson about himself, using a sign from the Old Testament and God's dealing with the children of Israel to better help him understand. Nicodemus must certainly would have known this sign. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. The impatience, ill will, and disobedience of the children of Israel in their wilderness wanderings led to the Lord sending fiery serpents whose sting brought death. And the Lord gave Moses a sign that gave them deliverance then, and pointed ahead to the deliverance that Jesus had come to bring for Israel, and through them, through Israel, to all mankind, to you and to me. For Nicodemus, this was an opportunity to connect the dots, understand the signs and wonders of Jesus, and embrace him as the Son of Man who would be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. The Spirit would give this new birth from above. Finally, to make this truth easier to understand, in order that Nicodemus, a teacher of Israel, might best be able to share this great teaching, Jesus put everything in a nutshell for him to take to heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This was a teaching moment for Jesus with Nicodemus. And through John's recording of this discourse, a teaching moment with countless others ever since. Indeed, Jesus was lifted up for Nicodemus. He was lifted up for you, for me, and for all, so that life might be given through the forgiveness of sins as God's everlasting gift. Nicodemus? Well, he later spoke on Jesus' behalf as the Sanhedrin came together about Jesus. And along with Joseph of Arimathea, honorably prepared Jesus' body for burial. Though we are not told, it should be certain that he would further have known the resurrection. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit and everlasting life. Amen. May this peace of God, which surpasses our human understanding, may it guard our hearts and guard our minds in faith in Christ Jesus, to life everlasting. Amen.